Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Diana.
A sonship mindset sets the foundation for your journey because it helps you perceive God as your father. It helps you see God as daddy. And not seeing God as some taskmaster sitting somewhere and only interested in marking your wrongs and your rights.
In this lesson, Pastor Diana teaches us that knowing God as our Father is a truth that should go beyond head knowledge. It should be something we live out. When we became born again, we took on a new identity. We were moved from living life under the law of sin and death to a life controlled by the Spirit. As Paul said in Romans 8, we are now sons of God. This means that we have a special relationship with Him. Acknowledging our sonship role helps us relate to God in a different light. Recognizing our roles as His Son will help us in our faith journey. Let's listen to Pastor Diana with today's lesson, Knowing God as a Father.
We're grateful for such an awesome presence, oh God. We don't take it for granted that when we come, you show up. And we are ready. Our hearts are ready, O God, to receive, O God, that which you have prepared for us, O God. We want to dine with you at the table. We want to be full, O God. We don't want to leave here the same, O God. Thank you. Your word says you are looking to find that man who is contrite and broken in spirit, but also the man who trembles at your word, oh God. And we choose to be that man. We choose to be that man who trembles at your word. We take your word and we run with it, oh God. We don't ask but what, but who, but we run with your word to be the doers, oh God. Thank you. We receive grace to do. We receive grace to do. Grace, oh God, for our young women and our young men, oh God. Grace for our men and our women to do that which you want us to do. Speak, oh God. Speak unto us, oh God. Speak in the language, oh God, and in the simplicity that we can understand, oh God. Oh, I pray and pull down every stronghold of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, every stronghold, every wall, we call it falling down in the name of Jesus. Any arguments of the devil that rises up against the obedience of your word. Oh, we fight against that argument. We pull them down in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you. Our hearts are released, oh God, to receive and to be refreshed, oh God. Thank you that your word, oh God, will wash us, oh God. We will get out of here today and we will not look the same because we will be washed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may have your seat. All right, so today we're going to continue on the journey we started about 2 weeks ago. On the subject of fatherhood. Hallelujah. How many of us were blessed by that? And how many of us have taken that truth and worked in it? God bless you. Amen. Amen. See, as powerful as God's word is, if all we do is to come here and just listen, and that ends it, I'm sorry to tell you, you may not be ready for transformation. But if you're sincerely ready for transformation, the word of God works. It works. We have to work it. You have to put into practice. Amen. Amen. And so, Last 2 weeks or so, we learned that God being our Father is a truth that needs to go past here, meaning it needs to go past head knowledge and put into our lives. We need to live it out that God is our Father. Amen. We learned that the Father of all lives is working hard. He's working to distort our experiences in order to keep us stuck so that we don't move on. He managed to, you know, make us stuck because of the experiences we had with our earthly fathers. But I pray that as we pray that day, your journey has begun for healing. Amen. And so your heart is being healed and you are released to connect to God the Father. Last week, our brother shared a testimony, right? So when we were going home, I was asking questions. I was like, and we're going to take a minute and discuss this. What if our brother's daughter called and said, "Daddy, I'm here. I know I'm not supposed to do this. I'm sorry I did it, but you have to bail me out. I bought alcohol for $20. I didn't realize I didn't have the money. But if you don't bail me out, I'm in trouble." What if? What would have Daddy done? What would you have done? No, there are so many daddies here. So, okay. There are so many daddies here. So, if your child called you and said, "I messed up. I know I messed up. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I did it. I bought alcohol for $20. I don't have money." Thank you. Any answers? I have one here. One said, "You bail him out. You are on your own." What? Bail him up, but punish. You will. Okay. I mean, there's no wrong or right answer here. But I'm of the opinion that you are on your own. Yes. Yes, and the reason is if I bail you out today, you might go and bring me a $50 bill next time, you know. And the reason why this question was popping up in my head was, why do we get upset when God rebukes us? Why do we get upset when God rebukes us? And the Bible says, He rebukes us because He loves us, to discipline us. Why? Why do we get upset? We don't like rebuke. But in fact, it's only a bastard that doesn't get rebuked because they don't have a father. If you don't have a father, who's going to rebuke you? You know, that's food for thought. It's not even part of my... All right, so today we're taking that lesson a step further, and I'm trusting God by the end of today, a man, a woman, a young girl, a young boy is about to learn some truth, and for some of us, it might sound too good to be true, but that is why it's called the good news. It must sound too good to be true. It is the word of God, and I dare you to believe it and to run with it. Amen. Because when he said it, he wasn't joking. Amen. So, we'll be in Romans, for the most part, Romans chapter 8. But I want to start from 7 and give you a little background. In Romans 7, Paul was telling us about a struggle, a war going on in himself. It was like a tug of war within his inner man. And when you read down, he was saying there was a desire in him to do good. The desire was there. But then there was a law at war with him. And so his mind and his body were in a fight. And it's all because of our sinful nature. And then Paul said, the good I want to do, I'm not able to do. But the wrong that I don't want is what I find myself doing. And then you notice at the end of chapter 7, it's like the light switch went on. And Paul begins to see right now. And then he says, but thanks be to God. Because he found the answer. He said, the answer is Jesus. When you read chapter 8, verse 1, he begins by saying, now, if the answer is Jesus, and you have come into Jesus, you have accepted Jesus. In chapter 1 of, in verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And what he was saying was, it doesn't matter what your heart is telling you. Remember in chapter 7, I said there was war going on between the mind and the heart, you know. And so now he says, it doesn't matter what your heart is telling you. If you are in Jesus, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a believer in Jesus, he said, when you stand before God, there is zero condemnation. Then verse 2 and 3 of chapter 8 says, but wait, this victory that you have, you'll be able to operate it, or you'll be living in defeat if you allow a certain law to control you. The law that you operate by determines whether you live in victory or defeat, because the law of sin is at work. The law of sin and death. But there is also the law of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So it depends which law you allow to control you. Hallelujah. Then I want to fast forward and go to verse 14. That is where we're going to dwell today, because we're talking about fatherhood. In verse 14, Paul says, so we've already established in verse 1, the answer is Jesus. So if you are now a believer, if you have accepted the finished work of Christ, if you said, I think I'm ready for this relationship, Lord. If you've prayed that prayer, if you now relate with him, he said, there is now a certain kind of walk that you have to walk. And that walk is being led by the Spirit. And then he said, if you are led by the Spirit, you are a son of God. You hear me say this a lot, sons. I may not be able to say sons and daughters, but anytime you hear me say son, you are the male son and you are the female son. Hallelujah. The male son and the female son. Amen. So, ladies, you are not left out. If you hear me say son, you are included in there. So, in verse 14, Paul is saying, your birth, your new birth, your born again experience requires you now to walk by the Spirit. And walking by the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit that became alive in you when you accepted Christ to now control everything you do. You are now not controlled by the flesh. Remember chapter 7. Now it's not the flesh that you're going to listen to. In this new life, it is the Spirit that you listen to. It is the Spirit that controls your move, that controls your communication, that controls everything you do. And if you are that person, you are the Son of God. Paul says, you need to get this basic truth because it's the foundation for the rest of your journey. The truth of being a son of God. We need to take it in. Young people, you're sitting here because if you get this right, oh, you will enjoy the rest of your journey with Jesus. Because I believe it's the foundation we all needed. For some reason, some of us didn't get it. But thanks be to God, it's never too late. Hallelujah. And so when you get it now, it will be a blessing to you. He said, the first step is knowing and accepting that you are a son, because it will set the foundation for your entire journey. Paul is saying, as you come into this family, the family of God, as you enter, the first step is accepting it, accept it. That I'm a son. Can you say, I'm a son? Say it again. Now, it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter how you came. You might have come in with so many luggages, so many baggages. But if he accepted you in, he's calling you a son. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 to 18, the Bible says, and this scripture here in 2 Corinthians is from Isaiah. Paul was using this to tell the people of Corinth something. It says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Like I said, this scripture is from Isaiah. So long ago has the Lord been, he's looking for sons and daughters. He said this to the people of Israel when they had gone back to Egypt and double themselves in idol worship. He was calling them back. He was seeking for sons and daughters. And he's saying this to us today. Hallelujah. John 1:12. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Any believers here? Yes. Hallelujah. Any believers here? Yes. I want to see more hands. Any believers in the house? If you raise your hands, Bible says you are the son of God. Because you know what, saints? Not knowing that you are a son makes you behave in a certain way. It makes you behave like an orphan. How many of us grew up with helpers? Let me put it that way. How many of us, you know, there were helpers, you know, we have a certain name for them, right? And they helped. Okay, servants. Okay. So, you see, if you remember, those servants, the way they behaved in the house, they were all tasked oriented, right? And it's just about making Madame or the boss happy. They will come and do what they have to do, and they run back into their rooms. Orphans respond to life differently. If you don't accept that you are a son, it means you are an orphan, and orphans respond to life differently. Most orphans have a sense of abandonment, a sense of rejection, a sense of pain. In fact, during my research, I found out that the person who has that orphan spirit, usually they are not happy for the next person because nobody has affirmed them themselves. They're looking for people to affirm them, and they haven't gotten that. So they can't be happy for you when you are all happy with your successes. No, it's not them. Hallelujah. So most orphans live in anger and resentment. Most orphans live from the place of fear. They are not able to celebrate others because nobody recognizes them. Back to Romans 8. So in verse 14, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. A sonship mindset sets the foundation for your journey because it helps you perceive God as your Father. It helps you see God as Daddy and not seeing God as some taskmaster sitting somewhere and only interested in marking your wrongs and your rights. That he's some God somewhere, he's in heaven, and you are here. And you're only waiting for the day you go to heaven. Having a sonship mindset is seeing God as that daddy who accepted you not based on your works. As you came in, he accepted you. You didn't do anything for him to accept you. You just believed, and he received and accepted you. Let me ask you, did any of us here, is everybody here born again? I mean, a believer in Christ. And if you are not, I'll give you the opportunity right now. It's the most important decision you will take in your life. If you haven't done that, if you're online watching us, take a minute and pray and say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I receive your finished work on Calvary, because that's what sets the tone for you to relate to God as your Father. Hallelujah. So my question is, how many of us heard a voice? Young people, please don't sleep on me. If you sleep, I'll call you by name. If you don't know it, I'm telling you now. You need this. Don't sleep on me. How many of us heard a voice when we prayed that prayer that you are now born again? How many of us heard a voice? You know, some may have had a dramatic experience like Paul, but how many of us heard a voice when you prayed and the voice said, now you are born again? Anybody? So how do you know you're born again? By faith. Hallelujah. By faith. By faith, you know that you believed and you are saved. You are born again. So how come when he says you are a son, you have a problem with that? How come? Now, let's discuss this. Remember, most of us have kids. So do you guys remember the first day you held that first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth baby in your hand. Okay, so the first time you held that baby, the first baby, the second baby, the third baby, the fourth baby, fifth, sixth, what did that baby do to become your child? Anybody? They showed up, right? The baby showed up. And what did you decide to do? To accept the child. In fact, when you looked at that baby was the most beautiful baby in the whole wide world. In fact, no other baby was as cute as this baby. Your baby was the most cutest. Even if, I'm not going to go there. Even if that baby was the best thing that ever happened to you. The excitement, the joy in your heart. You received that baby as your child. And it doesn't matter if they doo-doo on your lap. Oh, my God. It's a joy to clean it. Especially with the first ones, though. Not the second ones. Are my kids here? I'm sorry. They did nothing to gain your approval. They did nothing. And that is how God was so happy when we said, yes, Lord. He was so excited at our birth. He was so excited because he's been waiting. Remember, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's been waiting. And so he was excited when you first said, yes, I want this friendship. How come you can't accept that you are a son? He approved of us even before we knew how to do right. He approved of us. And so, and I'm not saying that he knows that you had baggages. He knows that you have a lot of work to be done. But he said, we will take care of that down the line. Right now, I'm so happy that you are in. And I accept you just as you are. Hallelujah. I approve of you. Remember Jesus? Before Jesus started doing miracles, he said, this is my beloved son. I approve of him. So listen to him. Before the miracles. Before you knew not to sin. Before you knew not to talk anyhow. Before you knew to pray. Before you knew how to do something, you know. He said, you are my son. You are mine. The next verse, 15. Romans 8, 15. And the reason I believe that Paul was saying, get this one first. Make sure this foundation, this is like a basic truth you have to get first because of 15. Because there's a spirit out there. It will come attack you. And so once you have this secured, once you have it established in your heart, you will be able to deal with 15. Hallelujah. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. I want to read it. I'm going to read it in NLT. He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Some version says you have not received a spirit of slavery. He said, beware when you start feeling like that. When you start having that thought of rejection, because the spirit of slavery is the one that feeds the rejection mindset. It's the one that says you don't amount to anything. It's the one that says you didn't match up when you came in. Don't you see that everybody's nose is pointed and yours is big? It's the one that says, look at your height. You are not wanted here. It is the spirit of slavery. The spirit of bondage again to fear. A slave does not have an identity of their own, as we've already established. A slave just wants to just set the table, get everything ready for the family to come and gather at the table, and the slave will retreat. The slave doesn't sit with the family. He will wait and come back after dinner is done, and he will clean up, put everything in place. That's the slave. The slave may treat the master's kid as the master. And sometimes the slave might be mean to the master's kid. But a son sits at the table. Hallelujah. A son engages daddy and the entire family in a conversation. If you ask a slave to sit at the table, they wouldn't be so comfortable. They would not. They will be looking at themselves. Am I dressed properly? Do I smell? I'm not in the right place. They will not feel comfortable. The son, it doesn't matter if they haven't had shower for 1 week. It's their place to sit. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So they are seated with the family. And they engage in conversation with the family. As I prepared, I was thinking, is it because we haven't accepted that we are a family and we all belong to one father? That is why we treat ourselves sometimes the way we treat ourselves. Because your blood family, no matter what they do, you know, some of them really get to your last by their blood, and you can't throw them away. But this is a much thicker blood. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a much thicker blood. The blood of Jesus that brings us all together. The slave does not sit in the midst of the sons. So when the enemy impresses upon your hearts that mindset of rejection, when that voice comes that you were not approved, that God didn't like you, even though you said you are born again, God still doesn't like you. When he starts speaking those things into your ears and into your heart, Paul is saying, beware, it didn't come from God. He did not give you that spirit. Paul is saying, reject it. Don't accept it. Do not take it in. Don't leave your reality from those lies you are hearing from the devil, because he did not give you that spirit. What God is wanting to do with us is, as we accept sonship, he begins to work on us. He begins to work in us into the form that he wants us. But when we reject his sonship, he's looking at us and he's waiting. He's so patient. He's waiting for you. His hands are tied. How could the creator of all things say, behold, I stand at the door and knock? And he could push the door open. But this relationship calls for your participation. He doesn't force himself on us. Hallelujah. We have to be willing to be sons and daughters. Verse 15, we want to continue. Paul says, what you received, he said, for you did not receive
the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba, in the last lesson, we learned that it's an intimate way of calling a father. It's not even father. It's like saying dad. And some of you said you call dad pops. And some said they call dad old man. If that is intimate, that then it's old man. So what Paul is saying is what you received at birth was the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption. And I know I saw this scripture. I've seen it so many times. But anytime I saw the adoption, it didn't hit home. Because of where I'm coming from. Now, you see, your culture may, you know, do something to some of these words, you know. So where we were coming from, you know, now it's accepted. But back then, it wasn't that. Adoption wasn't a thing. Anybody with me? Yes. So it didn't hit home when I read the scriptures. You know, but now I get it. Because you know why? Who was Paul talking to? Who knows who he wrote this book to? Who was he talking to? Paul. The Roman church. Thank you. Let's clap for our brother. So Paul was writing, he wrote this book to the Roman Christians. And there's something about the Roman system of adoption that will help us understand the scripture so well. I found out that in ancient Rome, when a child is born biologically, you can disown that child for certain reasons. If your reason fits, you are able to disown that child. But when the child is adopted, that's it. Cannot return back to sender. You can't disown that child. Then I read on and I found out that under the Roman adoption system, you receive a new identity with new rights. When a child was adopted, they received a new identity with new rights. So at this point, I need two brothers to help us with this illustration. Thank you, sir. One more. So, this is Daddy. And Daddy's name is what? No, your full name. Stephen Aqua. And your name now is? Alex Boedi. Good. And I said the first thing that happens is the child receives a new identity, meaning a complete change of name, okay? You don't have a middle name? No. Kwaku, okay. So, Alex Kwaku Boedi. So, Daddy, what's going to be the new name for your... All right. So now, Godfred here. For the sake of illustration, okay? You all know it's the sake of illustration. His new name is Godfred Kwaku Aqua. That old name is dropped off. And if you choose... I know him by Alex Boedi, so I'll call. He doesn't respond to you because he has a new name. Hallelujah. He has a new name, a new identity. Young people, I said he has a new identity. Their name is completely changed. It doesn't matter what the devil used to call you in the past. He may have called you a murderer. He may have called you a liar. He may have called you a womanizer. He may have called you an idolater. He may have called you whatever. Now you have a new name. Hallelujah. And your new name is the child of God, the son of God. And so he can come back calling you that name, but you dropped off. It dropped off. And you do not respond to that old name. Hallelujah. You have a new identity. In fact, the biological children of him know him as one of them now. There is no discrimination. There is no, you just got in. No. He's already accepted. He's one of us. This scripture tells you, if any man is in Christ, they are a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, the new. Hallelujah. The second thing that happened under the Roman system of adoption, any kind of crime ever committed by Alex, the old guy, any kind of crime, it includes felonies, the speeding tickets, the red lights that he ran. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the new. Thank you, Lord, for the new. The DUI. Officer, can you give me more felonies? Every felony. The child support that you're playing with. You know? Which one again? All of that is gone because his identity has changed. Go and put in the social security number. You won't find it because this is a new person. It's been wiped off. It's paid for. Hallelujah. Even if he served 10 years in jail, I'm saying it's paid for. This is a new guy. They can go and look and look and look. Nothing. In fact, maybe the computer will crash. Hallelujah. This is a new guy. Because he has received a new adoption. Another thing that happened to that child who is adopted under the Roman system. Any outstanding debt. The credit card. Only God knows what he used it to buy. It don't matter right now. The mortgage. The IRS. The school loan. What else? All those debts, they are wiped off. Hallelujah. They are wiped off. He has a clean credit now. Clean credit. With 800 or more score. Is there anything after 800? Yeah, we'll go for the 850. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The last thing that happened under the Roman system of adoption is that the adopted child is now an heir. How do you say that word? I struggle with it. Heir. An heir to the inheritance of daddy. Hallelujah. Now he has part in the inheritance of daddy. And so if daddy has three other kids, now we are four. It has to be distributed evenly, equally. 25, 25, 25. His is not lesser. Because he's not, no. There's nothing like you are not biological. No. He has equal access to the possessions of daddy. How many of us want to be adopted under the Roman system now? Thank you. Thank you. Let's clap for them. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You and Jesus, your brother is Jesus. Now Jesus is your brother. And what did God give Jesus? He gave him the whole world. And so now you share with Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you excited about this? Oh, glory be to God. For you not to do anything but have all these benefits. That is why it's difficult for some to accept it. Because you feel like you have to work for everything you were given. But Paul said, wait. The adoption we have received, even though that Roman system one sounds good, he said, what we have received is a spiritual transaction that took place. It's a spiritual adoption. And we have received a stamped identity on us. We have a new name. We have a new name. We have a new name. And so that name, that old name that people frown at is no longer our name. It's no longer our name. All the wrongs and the crimes we have committed, they've been wiped off. They are not traceable before God. They are not traceable. It's you. I said it the other day. It's you who is holding on to the sins you committed 10 years ago. Ooh. It's you who is thinking the abortion that you did 15 years ago. You can't forgive yourself. It's you. But if you truly accepted Jesus, then those things are not even traceable. Hallelujah. They are not traceable. If you are genuine about your commitment to him, you are a new child. You are a new child. Your debt and your past has been taken care of. And now he says to you, Jesus is your brother. Through Jesus, you have an access. You have access to the inheritance of the Father. And the inheritance is to enjoy here on earth. The inheritance is not the street of gold. No. Did you ever hear Jesus saying he was sick? If Jesus is your brother, then you got to fight for your health. You got to fight for your health. If Jesus was your brother, is your brother. Wholeness of life is your inheritance now. Everything that Jesus paid for is your inheritance now. It's been paid for. You have access to it. It's just for you to accept that, yes, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High. I will rise up and take my place as a daughter. And as we, you know, it's good. All these things are nice, but we also have responsibilities. And we will talk about that later, the next time. But today, we know that we have rights. We have rights. Hallelujah. And so our realities here on earth our reality, what should be seen in our life is that of a son, is that of a daughter of Abba. Paul says, the Spirit, because of the Spirit of adoption, now we can cry, Abba. Now we are able to call God Daddy. We are able to call him Daddy. And just as Jesus called him in that hour when he wanted to say, if it's your will, Lord, I've changed my mind. In that hour when it was difficult, he called on Daddy. You are also able to call on Daddy in your difficult hour and say, I need help, Dad. Even us who are evil, we know how to be good to our children. Didn't you hear somebody say, if the child calls and says, I messed up. I bought alcohol, $20, but I don't have money. Some of us are willing to go bail that child out. Even us who are evil. If we know how to do good to our children, how much more our Daddy in heaven? How much more? How much more? It's the devil who has kept us in that bondage. And like I said the other day, some of us, because of our earthly father experiences, we don't want to relate to God as Daddy. But we've heard enough that they were not perfect. Even if you had a good daddy, even if you think you had a best daddy, they were still not perfect. And so the perfect dad is Abba. Hallelujah. The perfect dad is Abba. And he's waiting. He's waiting for a son or a daughter to relate to him. Today, I hope a young girl will stop looking at yourself as inferior, because you don't look like your friends. You don't have some of the looks they are portraying as the beautiful girls. I hope a young lady will stop looking at yourself like that. You belong to the Most High. Your daddy is the man upstairs. Oh, he plays his name on you. He plays his name on you. In fact, at conception, when conception took place, he had the name already. He determined what you would do. He determined your identity. He determined what you're supposed to do when you come here on earth. When you were blood clot, when you were like a clot of blood in your mother's womb, he had already determined your future. He is the one who gives us the identity. Do you see that our brother now takes on the identity of the dad? And so where it's coming from doesn't matter anymore. His family background doesn't matter anymore. Whether the family is full of what, you name it. He now belongs to this new family. He can sit at the table with this new family and eat with them and talk to them. He is accepted into this new family. It doesn't matter what somebody outside is saying. It doesn't matter if somebody comes and stands there and say, where is that boy who used to steal? No, that's not my name anymore. My name has been changed. I am a new person. Hey, when you come in, you will not see a thief here anymore. It's the new me now that you see. Hallelujah. God is waiting for us. God is waiting for us. Young people, I'm on your case today. God is waiting for you to accept. I told my children the other day, before God, we are all children. God doesn't have any grandchild. So you are his son. I am his daughter. And God is waiting for that relationship. He's been longing for it. A father-son relationship. A father-daughter relationship. Will you be able to relate to him as your dad? Will you go to him and say, Daddy, I've come. Daddy, I've come. Daddy, I've come. Will you be able to accept any rebuke he brings your way? And not be like our children. Have you ever rebuked your children before? What happens? They don't talk to you for the next 2 days. They avoid you, right? And they think we don't see it. They don't. When they see you are coming, they look somewhere else. Until they are happy, then they come back to you. Daddy is waiting. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray. We have a few minutes. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child. Now you sing that song with understanding. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
a child of God.
I'm no longer,
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer. Take the stanza that says, from my mother's womb, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me.
You have chosen me.
God has called my name. I have been born again.
To your family.
Your blood flows through
my veins.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. I am a son of God.
son, I am a son,
I am a son.
Pray.
No
Patapala. Ipasofetapele Kala. Iman Dukata Levelusadia. Iman Dukalabalia Vasuta. Hikatala Velu Satatete. Hipakapalo Zadia. Liata Pekova Levelope. Hipalia Kapaluato. Be deceived by the devil. We will no longer be deceived by the devil. Thank you for light. Thank you for illumination. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for understanding. Oh God. Oh, kapalepela dia. Ipakapalosa telepele. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Alekavalo. Imanoma kapalosa ta.
We're
going to pray. We'll pray for our men. We'll pray for our women. We'll pray for our young people. Young people, I want you all here. Where are they? Young people, I want you all here. We're going to pray for them. Laliosa telepe. Ipakata levalia. Imantopelia sata. In the name of Jesus. Oh, la cavalia tope. Maliva setele.
I am the child.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ipalia sata lepelosa. La cavalu palia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if there is any of you here who hasn't accepted Christ, the place to begin is accepting Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. It's the place to begin. So if you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't heard about what Christ came to do, He took our debt. He came and paid for our debt. And so now you can be free. If you haven't done that, begin to do that. And if you have, we want to pray for them. That any identity they have accepted from friends, from us as parents, from anyone, we are praying that those identities be dropped right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. That they will begin to take on the identity of Jesus. They will begin to take on the identity of Abba Father. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them. They are dropping, they are dropping. They are dropping any identity they have taken, which is not from God. Any identity from Satan. Any identity they have taken on, which is from the camp of the enemy. Oh, we pray. We pray it dropped right now. In the name of Jesus. Now they begin to take on the identity of Abba Father. Of Abba Father. Of Abba Father. Of Abba Father. They will be able to connect to the love of their Father. Oh, nothing holds them back. Nothing holds them back. They'll be able to hold on. They'll be able to hold on. They'll be able to connect to the love of the Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, they'll be able to connect to the love of the Father. Any pain in your heart. Any wounds that have been created. Oh, we pray for God to touch it and heal it. Heal every wound in your heart, oh God. Heal every wound in your heart, oh God. Oh, my God. Ipalusa telepalia. Kavalia pelusa te. Imalova katalebeleza ya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, listen, I want you to know
that you are loved. Ooh, you are loved by Abba. Listen, he doesn't have love, no. Your daddy up there, he is love. Love is his name. He doesn't have love in his pocket ready to dish it out to you when you do good. No, he is love. He cannot be mean to you. He loves you. You are loved by Abba, Father. You are loved. You are loved. He wants you to connect to him as a father. No matter how good your earthly father is, he is the perfect father. You haven't seen anything yet. If your earthly dad is so good, you haven't seen anything yet. Oh, he wants you to connect to him as father. Going forward, you are to approach him as your daddy. Go to him and say, Daddy, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. There are things that trouble my heart. He wants you to connect to him like that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace, oh God. Grace for every one of them, oh God. They have grace, oh God. They have grace, oh God, to move on in their journeys with you, oh God. Grace to connect to your love, oh God. Oh, the rest of their journey is going to be so joyful because, oh God, they now have a deeper understanding of who you are to them, oh God. Oh, that you love them anyway. You've accepted them. You've accepted them. It doesn't matter their size, their height, oh God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything anybody says. You've accepted them. You've approved of them. You approve of them. You approve of them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for your approval. Thank you for your approval for every one of them, oh God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You may go back to your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Last of it, Ope.
I am.
We're going to pray for our man. We're going to pray for our man in this family. We're praying for our man here that he'll be able to love God from that stand of sons. They'll be able to connect to God as sons. They'll be able to go before their daddy and pour out their heart before daddy. They will not try to be too masculine. You know, some of us are too grown up for God. We are too grown up. You come before God and you are too... No. He's looking for a child. He's looking. That's who he's looking for. The child. So they'll be able to go to God as their daddy. And they will be able to connect to his love. Let's pray for our men in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, when you do that, you'll be able to pour out love onto your kids. Oh, so pray. Pray for our men. Pray for our men. They'll be able to connect to Abba. They'll be able to connect to Abba. They'll be able to connect to Daddy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. They'll be able to connect to Daddy as a father. Jesus. Oh, pray for our ladies. Oh, let's pray for our women. We won't struggle anymore with identity. We will not struggle because now we know he's already approved of us as women. He accepts us as daughters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what society has called you. It doesn't matter the name they've placed on you. It's given you a new name. A new name that you have to live up to. You have to live up to the new name he's given you. A daughter of God. A daughter of Zion. Begin to pray that you'll be able to connect to the love of the Father going forward. You will not doubt him anymore. When he says he loves you, he loves you. Begin to pray. Tapa tapala.
In the name of Jesus, oh, Latapa, hey, Yabalabalo, Palia, oh, we know without a shadow of doubt that you love us, that you love us. We will not seek for love in the wrong places. We will not seek for love in the wrong places. We will not seek for love in the wrong places. We will not seek for love in the wrong places. We will not seek for love in the wrong places. We will not be looking for love in the wrong places. We will not be looking for love in the wrong places. When you are ready to love on us, when you are ready, you've been so ready. You've been ready to pour your love on us, oh God. Help us to be able to take it in, to take in your love, to take in your love. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Make room in our hearts, oh God. We make room to receive your love, to take in your love. I am a child of God. I am
a child of God.
Oh, I am
a child.
Thank you.
I am
Hata.
The child.
Hey, Yalaba.
Of God.
Dikavalapalooza. Yes. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I am the child of God.
Abba, thank you for cleansing us with your word, oh God. Your word has cleansed us so clean that we walk out of here new people. New with our chest out, oh God. Because we know who we belong to. We know whose name is on us. We know our identity. And because we know that you love us, oh God, that liberates us, oh God, even to love you more, even to seek to know your heart, oh God. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Now receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this week, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be your lifestyle. It's a lifestyle full of grace. Your lifestyle in this week and the days ahead is the love of the Father. Oh, oozing out of you. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is your lifestyle. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301 866-896-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.